This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We're looking for a high temperature today of 82 and a shower or thunderstorm moving toward the Chicago area. 74 degrees right now at O'Hare.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, it doesn't seem to make sense. The tariffs that we've been talking about, the additional $200 billion worth of imports from China that are going to face new tariffs of 10% until the first of the year, and then after that, a 25% tax, and then China following as it said it would with $60 billion worth of tariffs on U.S. products. Well, all of that being played on Wall Street with gains. We've got the Dow up 161 points to 26,223, up 2/3%. The NASDAQ up almost 1% or 72 points. S&P higher by 18, moving above 2,900. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index up 1/3%. It's possible that investors have priced in concerns about the trade war. Also, China saying it does still hope that trade talks could occur sometime in the fall. So some hope that maybe that this will be the end of the tariffs. Oil prices are higher, up 1.25% to $69.77. $0.07 a barrel, and a report finds confidence among American home builders stabilized in September as demand held up and lumber prices finally fell, according to the National Association of Home Builders. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, marijuana is part of the discussion on the Noon Business Hour. And would you use Amazon as your banker?
Also, Travel Tuesday, we'll give you the zone of fall deals, where you can go if you'd like to get away this fall. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
China says it will increase tariffs on $60 billion worth of U.S. goods in retaliation after President Trump announced new U.S. tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports. It's the latest volley in the trade war between the two countries, and an American business group is warning a downward spiral in the conflict appears certain. The Trump administration announced the tariffs on some 5,000 Chinese-made goods. They'll start at 10% and begin on Monday. They rise to 25% on January 1st.
The auto industry is watching this nervously because the outlook hinges on China sales holding up under the tariff pressure. The outlook for the global auto industry over the next 12 to 18 months remains stable so far, according to Moody's. China and India are particularly healthy. Trade tensions and tariffs, rising interest rates, rising fuel prices could all hurt sales next year.
The European Union's antitrust watchdog is investigating whether automakers BMW, Daimler, and Volkswagen colluded to limit the development and rollout of car emission control systems. The EU Commission says it's received information that BMW, Daimler, Volkswagen, and VW units, Audi, and Porsche held meetings to discuss clean technologies aimed at limiting car exhaust emissions.
And Ferrari is betting on limited edition cars based on iconic models of the past as part of a new five-year plan. The company's presented the first in the Icona special series, billed as the most powerful road car in the company's history. The Ferrari Monza SP1 and SP2 sports cars are modeled on the classic open-top racing model with revved-up Formula One technology.
The head of OPEC says the oil cartel must stick together for the good of the global economy as Iran faces renewed U.S. sanctions. OPEC Secretary General Mohammad Sanusi Barkindo says Iran is not only a founding member of OPEC, it's a very important member of this organization. He added, "We have no choice but to continue to work with all parties." However, he didn't address how the global oil industry immediately can replace Iranian crude supplies in an already tight market.
The Coca-Cola company says it is closely watching the growth of the use of non-psychoactive elements of cannabis in wellness drinks. It says it is eyeing the growing market of health drinks infused with the cannabidiol, or CBD as it's called. It has made no decisions yet. The statement comes after reports that the beverage giant was in talk with a Canadian cannabis company to create infused beverages.
Just ahead, shares of a Canadian marijuana producer are surging. The company has gotten approval to import pot to the U.S. That and loads more on the Noon Business Hour.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Shares of Canadian marijuana producer Tilray surged 12% after the company received approval to import pot to the U.S. for medical study. Joining us now, Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut, author of the book Even Buffett Isn't Perfect. Vahan, seems like there is an increasingly a big market here for pot in a variety of different areas, and maybe Tilray is one of the companies on the ground floor here.
Yeah, there's no question there's a big market, and I think many of these companies will eventually do well and succeed. Of course, my problem with them is the valuation. You know, Tilray is in a mania right now. I mean, the stock is, the company has a market cap of over $14 billion right now. And it's a company that only has about $30 million in trailing sales. Now, there's no question that the sales are going to grow, but right now they're losing a tremendous amount of money. It reminds me a lot of Tesla. If you recall, Tesla, you know, went through the roof before it started coming back down. And it reminds me of a lot of other manias we've seen, like including Bitcoin. And in the late 1990s, any company that added .com to its name saw the stock appreciate tremendously. So I'd be very careful with any of these marijuana companies right now. So even though I think their long-term prospects as businesses are probably pretty good, it doesn't mean that you should buy it at any price.
So when it comes to, you mentioned Tesla, one of the things that's been challenging them is the fact that now many more automakers are doing what they do. Is that one of the fears with investing in a pot company, that there'll just be more and more companies that are getting in on it?
Well, yes, that is one fear. I mean, of course, you know, marijuana has been legalized in Canada, and that's why we're seeing all these companies are Canadian companies. Even though Tilray did an IPO on the NASDAQ, it is a Canadian company. And there will be more competition, and eventually, if marijuana is ever legalized in the United States, you'll have even increasing competition. Now, Canada is legalizing marijuana for recreational purposes very soon, in the middle of October. But, you know, Canada's population is minuscule compared to the United States. So that's not enough, in my opinion, to justify these price increases. And every day we're seeing these companies make a relatively minor announcement, yet that causes the stock price to go up, you know, 10-15%. And I think that's indicative of a mania.
Just a comment. It seems ironic that this has kind of gone full circle. The baby boomers back in the day were, you know, marijuana was their lunch, dinner. And now we're talking about it for, you know, important duties and at these all of these business now springing up.
Yeah, well, you know, there does seem to be some evidence that there are some medicinal benefits to marijuana, especially to the CBD, which is the part of the marijuana that is not the part that gets you high, such as the THC. So there will be some medical applications, and there is a relatively large medical market around the world. But again, it doesn't justify these kinds of prices. These stocks have gotten way ahead of themselves, and I'd be very careful about getting in. In fact, I've been telling my clients to stay away from it. Now, on the other hand, shorting these stocks could be very dangerous. You know, Tilray, for example, there's only one investor who owns about 90% of the stock, and that investor cannot sell that stock for about four more months. And because there's such demand for the stock and such little supply, that's helping to drive up the price. But however, when those lockup periods expire and these insiders have the ability to sell, you can see these stocks suddenly plummet.
To one of the things Chris mentioned, it used to be, you know, pot was purely recreational. Now you both have talked about how it's medicinal, but you even have Coca-Cola and other companies looking at different beverages and snacks and really trying to make it a part of your everyday life.
Yeah, of course, Coca-Cola, yesterday there was a report that Coca-Cola was interested in a relationship with Aurora Cannabis, which is another Canadian company. And what they're interested in is that CBD oil, which I said was used for medicinal purposes. So Coca-Cola is not going to be putting marijuana in you know, Coca-Cola beverages. What they're thinking about doing is creating some type of beverage that would be available on a prescription basis for people who are suffering from pain. Of course, we've gone through a period where many people got addicted to opioids, so there is a keen interest in some type of pain reliever that is not as addictive. And there is a lot of evidence that these things are not as addictive as opioids or other types of drugs. So as I said, there could be a tremendous benefit to these things. However, again, it's the stock price that gives me pause. The stocks are much too expensive.
All right. Well, we'll be very interested in following this. Vahan Janjigian, thanks for joining us. Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut. Author of the book, Even Buffett Isn't Perfect.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. A check of the markets from Bloomberg, sponsored by FinancialEngines.com. Here's Elisa Parenti.
We are still in the green. The Dow up 167 points, or 0.2%. NASDAQ advancing 69, or almost 1% higher there. S&P up 17. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg up 0.4%. Now let's turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We have lower prices in corn and beans across the board on good harvest weather, and big yields, plus worries about China and our trade war with them. Corn at the moment for December down 4.25 at 343.75. November beans down 9.5 at 814. And the good point, December wheat up 5 at 511.25. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are up sharply this afternoon.
Travel Tuesday, we're going to talk about the fall deal zone, which is a great time to book a flight.
We'll look at the next industry that Amazon could potentially disrupt.
It's day two of testimony in the murder trial of Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke.
Rising floodwaters threaten communities across the Carolinas as Florence hits the northeast with heavy rains.
On Wall Street right now, the Dow Industrials are up about 165 points, the NASDAQ up 66, S&P 500 up 16.5.
74 degrees in Chicagoland, heading to a high of 82. Some rain in the north and northwest suburbs, and a big rain system on the way. All of us should see some of it later on this afternoon. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Visa and MasterCard have agreed to pay up to $6.2 billion to end a long-running price-fixing case brought by merchants over card fees. We're talking about it with Matt Schultz, a credit card expert at comparecards.com in Austin. Matt, thanks for joining us today. What are the ramifications for the businesses and for the customers?
Well, it's interesting. Anytime you're talking about $6 billion, it's a lot of money, but Visa and MasterCard are going to be just fine business-wise. What it is it's a tough thing for the merchants, because what they really wanted out of this was not necessarily a reward back in their pocket, but what they wanted was an overall reduction of these fees that they pay to accept credit cards, and that's not really going to happen.
So what are they doing as far as the price fixing? Were the credit card companies in cahoots in setting the fees? Were they setting them too high? What were the merchants really complaining about here?
Well, it was an antitrust thing. So basically they were saying that they were illegally inflating these swipe fees, partially by not allowing merchants to, say, steer consumers to a credit card that maybe had cheaper swipe fees than another card. So really, it's a complicated thing, but it's a battle that's been going on for years and years and years. And overall, what it comes down to is that the card networks have largely won for the most part because the system is largely going to stay intact.
It has, in fact, been a 13-year-old class action lawsuit. How long will it take to get this finally settled?
Well, there are other lawsuits still out there. For example, Amazon is one of them that is still kind of taking on this battle. And the thing is that the big companies like that that have a lot of leverage with the card networks aren't going to give up the battle, because even though these fees are only 2-3%, that's a significant amount of money when you're talking about especially a retailer with fairly low profit margins like a Walmart, for example.
So this settlement may not actually settle it.
That's exactly correct. This battle is going to go on one form or another for some time.
All right, Matt Schultz, always appreciate you being with us. Matt is a credit card expert at comparecards.com.
Well, we're watching the markets today, and we're seeing everything is up. And let's talk about it with Hugh Johnson. Hugh Johnson Advisors in Albany, New York. Hugh is the chairman and chief investment officer. Tell us what you see in the markets today, Hugh.
Well, I see a really positive message, and obviously it's not just that the stock market is up, but it's up despite the fact that the trade tensions between the U.S. and China seem to be escalating. They're really not escalating that much, but they are escalating some. The market is up. And I think the real message of the market, which is an important one, Chris, is that basically the trade tensions, yes, they're going to get worse. Yes, we're going to have a lot of tariffs, but they're not going to threaten the recovery in the U.S. economy. And for that matter, they're not going to threaten the recovery in the global economy. That's the message of the markets, and you see that show up all sorts of places. The consensus estimate for the U.S. economy is going up, not down. The consensus estimate for earnings, which is what this stock market has been all about, the estimates for earnings are actually going higher, not lower. So it may be the case that people should worry about the impact of those tariffs on the global economy and on the U.S. economy, but you don't see it showing up in estimates for the economy and earnings. So I think the message of the market is, look, folks, don't worry as much about it. It's just not going to derail this recovery.
Remembering 10 years ago, there have also been a few voices whispering, don't get too bubbly here. We saw what happened 10 years ago.
Yeah, you do worry about it 10 years ago, but this is an entirely different time. I'm going to just give you one quick sort of point. It's almost anecdotal, and that is crises of the sort that we saw 10 years ago, 2007, 2008, only come along, really, in financial market history, something that of that magnitude only about every 40 or 50 years. So we've got a long period of time before we have to really worry about something of that magnitude, but that doesn't mean that you go to sleep. That doesn't mean that the current stock market, business, economic interest rate cycle is not going to have an end. We're going to still have a cycle, but I don't think we're going to have anything on the other side, anything in the way of a bear market or a recession of the magnitude that we had in 2007. We'll have something, but it won't be anywhere near as severe as that, and that's what financial market history really teaches you.
Hugh, how are you feeling about market valuation these days, given the fact that we've had a pretty decent earnings season? Obviously, we don't really know if that's sustainable or not, but it was a pretty good season.
Yeah, it's a great season, and it is largely because of earnings, Cisco, and that's exactly the point. What I feel about the valuation is that we went from being very undervalued, that was March 23rd, to now we're probably a little bit overvalued, a little bit pricey, but not so much so that I'm really losing sleep over it. So I look at very little upside between now and maybe year end. But when I take a look at the upside potential between now, again, using good earnings estimates, and 2019, I see an upside of between 5 and 7%. And that's prices only. If I use dividends, I add dividends of 2%. It's not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad upside for the stock market. The cycle's not over.
Hugh Johnson, always a treat checking in with you. Thanks for joining us today. Hugh is Chairman and Chief Investment Officer at Hugh Johnson Advisors in Albany.
Coming up, scoring a great airfare deal this fall, especially to Europe.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Travel Tuesday on the Noon Business Hour. We're in the middle of the fall deal zone, and it's a great time to book a flight. Joining us now to talk about it, Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com, based in New York. Joe, before we get into some of the deals, tell us, what exactly is the fall deal zone?
Well, the fall deal zone is basically the minute you get past Labor Day, the airlines start looking to cut fares pretty much everywhere from the official off-season, usually starts November 1st, but depending on the region, you can find deals as early as October 1st. And certainly January, February are the deadest periods of the year for travel of any kind, so that's when the best deals of all are. In the early winter.
So are we seeing fares that, say, even for the same time period, the same travel period, that we might not have seen online back in, say, July or August? Or are these deals that drop after Labor Day?
The airlines are in a constant... The thing to keep in mind, Cisco, it's never you versus the airlines. It's you versus the airline computers. And they are changing fares literally a million or more times a day. I mean, that's not a made-up number. The computers can move that fast. But we do see the period come when the airlines open up and start promoting fall sales, so the prices do go down. I mean, how else can you explain fares from Chicago, like $200 round trip to Cancun or $500 to Beijing? These are fares we haven't seen, frankly, ever. There's so much capacity out there, and the airlines have managed so carefully to create that inventory, that there are some astounding bargains out there to be had.
And you just mentioned a fare that was pretty amazing. What else comes with that, though?
Well, the thing to keep in mind, Chris, is that the fare is no longer the only thing to consider. Okay? Now, I can show you a fare, $619 to Bucharest. You know, if you've never been to Romania, why wouldn't you go? Or $700 to Egypt. But you have to look at other things. Is your luggage included? Is your choice of seat included? Do you want early boarding? Would you want to sit in an airline club before you depart? These are all add-ons now that come above the quoted fare. The quoted fare will always have the taxes and the fees, but other things we once thought well, part of the fare may not be, and you do need to check that.
What are a couple of ideas if you wanted to go to Europe in September, October?
Well, September's a little tight, obviously, simply because you can't hit the airline's advance purchase rules. But if you're looking at October and certainly November, we're seeing 700 from Chicago. Now, the thing to remember also is Chicago is the most connected airport in the world. O'Hare is the most connected international airport in the world, except for London. That survey's just been released. It was astonishing to a lot of people when you think of other cities, New York JFK, LAX, San Francisco. But the second easiest airport to fly somewhere in the world to is actually O'Hare. That gives you the option to find almost anything at any price. Los Cabos for 400 round trip. Italy will run you from Chicago about $700 with a change. How Europe in October, November, the weather's still great. The culture's in total swing. A lot of the tourists are gone, and you'll also find all the restaurants open. And the people you'll meet are people from the local community, not somebody you saw in the neighborhood last week.
Joe, always great advice. Thanks for being with us. Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com, joining us on Travel Tuesday. This time tomorrow, Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, a look at the next industry Amazon could take over.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
A new study finds that two-thirds of Amazon Prime members would try banking with their retailer. Let's talk about it with Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group in New York. Shelley is CEO of the Palmer Group. And Shelley, first question is there anything that Amazon can't do?
Oh, wow. You know, the answer to that's probably no. They can probably do whatever they want. And, you know, when this study hits the universe hard, it'll probably do to the banking stocks what it did to the healthcare stocks when Amazon announced it was thinking about getting the drugstore business. These guys are a powerhouse, and it shouldn't surprise anybody. The amount of trust in the brand Amazon is absolute. The fear it instills in suppliers and vendors alike and other retailers is pretty absolute, and consumers get an amazing benefit. You press a button and stuff shows up in a couple of days, so at pretty much the right price. So they have an awful lot of permission to go into a lot of businesses, and they are.
And the trust is the right word, is that if you've had a good experience with this company, you're going to say, yeah, I could do that. And even after 2008, when people were so nervous about it, but there's trust here.
No, there really is. And, you know, they've earned it. They put the consumer first 100% of the time. I've personal anecdotes or even just reading various case studies, people have tried to return the craziest stuff or asked Amazon for what would be abusive to any other retailer. They just smile and make the consumer happy. Now, they do throw it back on the merchants and they do throw it back on the suppliers and vendors, but it doesn't matter because the consumers have been the beneficiary. And also, look, Amazon has had a benefit. They've had the lowest cost of capital from their shareholders forever. I don't think there's another company in history that's ever been given that much leeway and permission not to make a profit. So now that they are, they're expanding, and shareholders are expecting a lot, but they're getting a lot. So it doesn't surprise me at all. And by the way, banking isn't the last thing we're going to hear about. It just isn't. And this doesn't mean they're going into it. You know, somebody has outside study doesn't mean they're going into banking. There's obviously more to it than saying, gee, I want to be a banker. But any place Amazon wants to, you know, poke the dragon, they're going to poke, and they're probably going to win.
Yeah, maybe a little nudge, too. Maybe some banking outfit will now contact Amazon about help. Shelley, always good insight. We'll have you back again soon. Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group. Shelley is on Twitter, at Shelley Palmer, and a website, ShelleyPalmer.com. Bloomberg checks the markets next.
WVBM News Time, 12:55. Let's take a look at the markets with Elisa Parenti.
Chris, the gains are growing. The Dow is now up almost 200 points, and we're at 26,258. That is a gain of 0.75%. The NASDAQ up almost 1% or 74 points, and the S&P higher by 19 to 2908. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is also higher by about 0.5%. Tariffs aren't doing home builders any favors. The price of lumber has been at a record this year, in part because of U.S. tariffs on Canadian imports, and home builder confidence remains at the lowest level in a year, according to the National Association of Home Builders. What is up is the builder's sales outlook for the next 6 months. It's higher for the first time since February. And here goes Tesla south again. Shares were slumping about 5% after a report that the company is under investigation by the Justice Department over public statements made by CEO Elon Musk. Bloomberg sources say the criminal probe is running alongside the civil inquiry by securities regulators. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.